One of the most fascinating elements of late Second Temple Judaism is the fact that there were lots of ideas circulating around the land of Israel that did not make it into the rabbinic tradition. We have a lot of books that survived antiquity. Sometimes they're called the outside books in the Jewish tradition. There were actually three versions of Esther that were circulating in the ancient world. The version that we have in Tanakh, called the Masoretic tradition version, the Septuagint version, and another version that's sometimes called A, which is simply another Greek translation of the Book of Esther, which does not seem to be really translated from either of the earlier two, but maybe was written on its own. Now, this reminds me a lot of something, I don't know if I heard it or I once saw it, but apparently there was an edition of Hamlet published in Yiddish that had on the title page, you know, Hamlet, from the famous writer William Shakespeare, and then it said in Yiddish, verteicht und verbessert, which means translated and improved. And in fact, that's what's going on in the Book of Esther recorded in the Septuagint, but it's very fascinating to see what the authors there decided to change. We have a sense of who may have been the authors because there is a colophon, meaning at the very end of the text, there's kind of like a this was written by statement. Someone named Lysimachus, son of Ptolemy, who apparently worked with a letter, and this Lysimachus was apparently from Jerusalem. They place the dating of it within the reign of two possible kings with similar names, so it either dates to the year 114 before the Common Era or the year 48. At any rate, let's get back to the translation. There were six new sections inserted into the Book of Esther as we have it. Again, it's more like I get the impression that there's this one very enthusiastic Jew who really loved the holiday of Purim. He loved the Book of Esther. And when he was put upon to translate it into Greek, he said, well, you know, here's a couple of parts since I am translating it. I'll just add these sections because I've always been bothered about this or that. Why wasn't this included? Some of those sections are like really weird. Like at the very beginning, there's a discussion of Mordechai having a dream about two dragons fighting. This also comes up at the very end of the book. And that dream somehow refers to this, you know, cataclysmic conflict between Mordechai and Haman, okay? Other passages make the text much more pious, much more frum, ironically. For example, we know amazingly that in the Book of Esther, as we have it, the name of Hashem is never mentioned, and that's a very significant part of what we read into the text. It's a book of Hester Panim, when God's presence is not immediately obvious, unlike most other books of the Bible. I guess the author of the Septuagint said, no, we can't have that. And so they inserted God a few points. They had prayers from Esther and Mordechai. Actually, on a literary level, the prayer of Esther is rather beautiful. But some editions are just kind of boring and detract from the hard-cut sharpness and the literary value of the original Book of Esther, which is so much more condensed and powerful. They have some interesting detail, like, for example, rather than just mentioning that letters were sent by the king, the version in the Septuagint actually gives you the text of these letters, purported text of the letters, including the ones dictated by Esther and Mordechai. They also seem to be a little bit concerned about the way that non-Jewish audiences might appreciate this book. After all, it is recorded in Greek, which was the lingua franca, and so many more people had access to it than narrow Hebrew readers. And so when there's those violent bits at the end of the book, it's kind of softened and placed in context and stuff like that. So it's a really fascinating read. If you love the Book of Esther, it's interesting to read this version and sort of chuckle along and say, well, what were they thinking? And what I take away from this is that when I go through the Book of Esther twice on Purim, I'm going to try and approach it with fresh eyes once again and appreciate that beautiful, most amazing, entertaining, and inspirational book in the Tanakh. Thank you very much for listening.